In the news this week, there was a report. It's called A Draft Guidelines to Tell Dog Owners to Stop Training If Their Pet Gets Anxious. I must say, this is round about the time I go, oh, please. As if we don't have enough nanny governments telling us how to lead our lives, now they're going to tell us how to look after our pets. And I'll tell you something, government's never really the solution. Often they are the problem. And I looked at some of these guidelines and I thought to myself, seriously? It strikes me as a whole lot of theories from a whole lot of so-called experts. And I must say, more and more, every time we hear from experts, blood runs cold. You know what I mean? You think, oh, here we are. Loads of theoretical geniuses and practical failures. So I thought, let's talk to somebody a little bit practical about this. A person who's had experience, practical, hands-on experience, and knows what she is talking about. I'm speaking of Cathy Coplis-McLeod, who's a dog trainer and behaviour consultant, and joins us right now. Hi, Cathy.
Hi, Chris. Hi, everyone.
Is it just me or am I being a little bit harsh on our poor downtrodden state government here?
No, you're not being harsh, to be honest. I agree that a lot of it is questionable, for sure. Whilst I'll certainly agree on the electric collars side of thing, a lot of it is quite a concern, to be honest.
But the whole electric collar thing, that's just an animal cruelty issue. But some of the stuff that just amazes me here, avoid speed bumps when driving with their dog. Can I write a meme to the same local government with the same ranger that's going to run around and say, gee, people's dogs aren't well trained these days? Okay, do you want to take out the speed bumps? In the meantime, let's go back to WA Police and say, now will you please patrol regularly our street, which the Hoons have started to use as a speedway again, which is the reason why you put the speed bumps there in the first place. My experience, speed bumps, Fido doesn't care. Why? Because Fido's in the car and that's just where Fido wants to be.
Fido's happy about being in the car. Fido's happy about popping their head out the window as long as we've got most of the window up and getting some fresh air. Yeah. Speed bumps is part of the adventure. I truly do worry about what the motivation of this is, and are we trying to cotton wool our dogs so much that they're not exposed to life? It's almost like they're going to be scared of air molecules if we're going to cotton wool them so much.
Well, we've done a pretty good job with the modern generation of children, so maybe they've decided that we need to do it with our pets as well. Why do we do this, Cathy? Why do we put human concepts on animals? I mean, dogs, like many other wild animals, evolved over millions of years. And they did so very, very successfully. And look, I guess there are times when a dog might be a bit stressed, but I'm not joking when I say, if they say, oh, well, we need to stop this because the dog might be anxious or stressed. Absolutely, there'll be people running around the streets saying, this person's dog is constantly barking. Well, I can't stop it from barking because it gets anxious when I try to give it the training required.
Absolutely, and that's the common sense approach. We have to think about too that who measures anxiety? You know, there's certainly severe separation anxiety or pretty strong cases of anxiety. That's a different kettle of fish. But here, what we're talking about is perhaps some generalized anxiety. And even when I do have clients, I even say to them, "What we're going to do now with your dog is slightly pop it out of its comfort zone, because this is how we all learn. This is how people learn, and this is how the dogs learn." So, for instance, if they're a bit worried about another dog, you slightly, bring a dog into the picture. Yes, they might be anxious, but what are they anxious about? What's going to happen next? That's fine. We have methods for how the owners can help them with that. Then they start to see each other a little bit more, and then we start encroaching in the space, and then we can see that the confidence of the other dog, through initially becoming anxious, it's now starting to topple into confidence. Now, if we're to avoid all these sorts of situations, there's many like them, you know, it could be sound sensitivity or dogs scared of strangers, etc. We're going to have dogs that don't have any resilience. We're going to have dogs with some pretty serious issues out there because we're not exposing them to life.
And the interpretation I take from that is we are more likely to have dogs that bite. Nervous dogs bite. Confident dogs don't bite.
we're going to have dogs that aren't going to be all that social. The sociability factor is that, oh, well, we can't go over speed bumps because just about every locality has got speed bumps. So therefore, we might have to leave the dog home. We better not take them four-wheel driving either because, you know, that's pretty bumpy.
Imagine what's going to happen in farming families when they take the sheepdog out to bring in a mob of sheep. My God.
Exactly.
Oh, we're going over the bumps in the paddock. Oh, the dog can't handle that. Meantime, the dog's sitting on the back of the ute with the tongue hanging out of its mouth saying, please take me to the sheep now.
Yeah. And the irony of this is the dogs that do have perhaps a predisposition to be a little bit more shy or reserved or anxious, in particular the ones that we do want to get out and about, we do want to safely expose them to dog training. If that's too premature, dog training is not the issue so much. It's probably the volume of the class. So you have a one-on-one, then you graduate to something like that. But just, you know, who's going to measure that dog looks anxious? Like panting, for instance, can be a sign of anxiety. What about if the dog's just been quite excited during the travel to get to their dog training class, and then they come out of the car and they're still panting because, you know, they've really got themselves worked up, the trainer might say, oh, your dog looks too stressed, you'll have to take it home. So it's actually it's madness.
Yeah, it's counterproductive. And we had a dog that would pant just when it was food time. It'd start preparing the food, the dog would look at you, the tongue would fall out the side of the mouth and and you knew damn fine the dog wasn't distressed. It was like, hurry up, food time, food time. And it's a case of reading the body language. But, Kathy, I'd like to know. See, what bothers me is we have numpties who are actually going to buy this sort of stuff. We also have numpties who suggested that this would be a good idea. And I'm guessing that people like yourself were never consulted. So who comes up with these ideas? Look, there are some issues that really, for me anyway, are no-brainers, such as you say you don't brand dogs. You know, with a hot iron. Well, yeah, kind of, that makes sense. You know, there's lots of stuff like that. You don't leave a dog in a hot car. I mean, those are common sense things that, quite frankly, anyone with half a brain already knows. But some of this other stuff, it's just absolutely crazy. And like you said, we're doing a really good job creating snowflake generations of people. Now we want to create snowflake generations of canines. And ironically, the back end of that is we're going to have a whole bunch of dogs who are not adequately trained. And we'll also have dogs that are liable to bite people because they're nervous. Or, like you said, they just simply won't be social, which means they won't be desirable as pets.
No, it's I'm not too sure who's been behind this, but there needs to be people who actually, you know, are professional within the industry, you know, it's people that know dogs and know dogs in and out. But we're going to create nervous wrecks. You know, I can already see this happening. You kind of just got to have that forethought, and you can see what's going to happen, especially with those individuals that I mentioned earlier that are already a little bit predisposed to being concerned with things. But I can almost picture that anti-anxiety medication is going to be doubled in its intake because dogs are, oh my gosh, we've just gone over, you know, a speed bump. Not that the dogs are going to care. It seems to be that we're the ones that worry about that. But this is, I really am lost for words almost. It's sort of, it's upsetting. It's almost, is this for real? It was the 1st of May. I felt it was like the 1st of April. It was an April Fool's joke. You know, I couldn't really take it seriously, but for goodness sakes, it is. We have to have resilient dogs out there. Resilient dogs make happy dogs and happy owners. They don't have to see people like myself. They don't have to go to the vets and put them on anti-anxiety medication. They can take their dogs everywhere with them safely, and for goodness sakes, the speed bump thing, you know, isn't that more of a problem of the driver rather than putting in a draft guideline for dog owners?
Yeah, the only thing we know about this is it's come from the Agricultural and Food Department, so that's Alana McTiernan's department. Evidently, she hasn't made any comment about it, but according to a spokesman, she defended the rules saying they could protect dog owners from cruelty allegations and said the guidelines are voluntary. They set out the best practice for caring for dogs and may protect dog owners who are doing the right thing from spurious animal cruelty allegations. Once again, seriously, what planet are these people on? Firstly, they won't be voluntary. The moment somebody gets an idea to enshrine these, there'll be something in law. Nobody's consulted people like yourself about it. And somebody says, oh, well, you know, somebody might accuse you of animal cruelty. Well, if somebody's going to accuse you of anything, the onus is upon them to prove it.
I agree, totally. You've got me there for sure. And I completely agree. I can't even see the relevance of animal cruelty with, you know, going over a speed bump. You know, that's not animal cruelty. We know what animal cruelty is, and that's despicable. Going over a speed bump, the dog possibly, from what these people are saying, being concerned or feeling anxious about that little rise and fall is... Can I use the word ridiculous yet again? Because yeah, that's the one that comes to me. It truly is. It's crazy.
The other one that amazes me is drive with care to minimise bumps, jolts and swerving. So I guess that means we can also nail our local council and the state government through the main roads department. Every time there's a pothole in a road, takes them 6 months to fix.
Yeah, the potholes are going to be a lot more scary than going over a speed bump. And what happens there? Should we swerve into an oncoming car so that we can avoid being fined by somebody for having an animal cruelty allegation against us for going over a pothole?
What precipitated? What I'd like to know, what do they call them? Health and welfare guidelines. Like I said, governments need to keep the hell out of our lives. The more governments get involved in our lives, the more we end up with this sort of nonsense. Well, the more we end up with more regulation. I mean, we've got enough nanny statism already. We need to get rid of it. But this document's 43 pages long, and it tells people how to take care of their dog. Well, you know something? If I was a bit concerned about how I was looking after my dog, I might have a chat with somebody like you. If my dog was misbehaving, I might give you a call and say, Kathy, I think we need to have a chat because the dog's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Most people... The by far the greater majority of people really love their animals and they really love their dogs. And if there's a problem, they want to get it sorted. Why does the nanny state somehow think that she needs to come and tell us how to lead our lives and how to look after our dog?
We're going to make it difficult for people even getting their dogs out. They're going to think that this was quite ludicrous, and some people will be really quite worried about, oh my gosh, I'm going to be looked at. So we're going to create almost havoc within people's minds. Oh, that person's looking at me. I wonder if they looked at me because I actually walked over a speed bump with the dog. I walked over a speed bump. Oh my God, I walked over, you know. What about agility, where dogs are jumping over equipment, you know?
Yeah, well, you throw it. My mate Brian from up the road, he's got a border collie. Right,
yeah.
This thing's got a ton of energy, and the way that he keeps it going, one of its exercise routines, got one of those tennis balls on those little, I call them catapults, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. Exactly.
Throws the ball for the dog, and the dog runs. And around about the time he works out that the dog, even though it wants to keep going, is truly knackered, that's when he says, no, we've got to go home now. And the dog's going, no, more. He's going, hang on, you know, look at you, you're knackered. We've got to go home. But that. He's smart enough to know. He knows when the dog's had enough, even when the dog doesn't know the dog's had enough. But the dog will run over anything. I mean, the dog would climb a tree to get that ball.
Incredible. They love it. Now, that's another thing. So, okay, so where did this madness end? So we talk about, you know, cruelty to animals and keeping them safe. So there's been a lot of dogs that have actually injured their cruciate ligament with through actually chasing balls and turning quickly and stopping abruptly, et cetera. So, you know, they're off to the vet. So are we going to also ban throwing balls for dogs? Because there's quite a real likelihood there that some of them can injure themselves.
Leave it to the nanny state. We're just going to get ourselves more angry. So I think we'll leave it there, Kathy. But, you know, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. You're welcome. Bye, everyone.
I'm going to fill her up. You want anything?
Oh, yeah.
Grab us a donut with cream.
Oh, yum. Could I have a bag of chips, Dad?
Yeah.
With heaps of salt.
And a sausage roll with lots of saturated fat. Thanks, Dad.
And can I please have a cola with 10 teaspoons of sugar, please?
That sounds good. I might get something too. With an insane amount of kilojoules. Back in a minute, Dad.
It's time to stop and think about what's really on the menu when it comes to junk food. Find out more about the better choices for you and your family at livelighter.com.au.